Welcome to the Team Flower Podcast. My name is Kelly, and we are gathering today to inspire you in your work with flowers.
Hi there, this is Daphne, and I'm the Event and Partnership Coordinator here at Team Flower. It's kind of a crazy time that we're living in, and I think we're all really feeling it. I'm a single mom with three kids, and there are always 600 things that need to get done. I can really struggle sometimes with the length of that list, but something that helps me is, in fact, making a list, writing it down on paper. There's science to the art of writing, even if it's just a list, that helps us process things. As awesome as technology is, and so helpful, I still love writing pen to paper for my lists. I have a specific notebook that I use. It doesn't have to be an expensive planner or anything fancy. Composition notebooks, I think, are a dollar, and they're great. I use them all the time. I keep a running list of my to-dos, and then every evening before bed, I sit down and look at what I'd like to accomplish the next day and put those items into a separate list. So say on the left side, I have a long list of items. Then on the right, I'll put the day and then just the few things that I hope to get done. It may seem silly that I'm spending time talking about something like this, but writing things down and then simplifying it by the day has been really so helpful in helping me manage the sometimes really overwhelming responsibilities that I have. Taking that time every evening to cross items off the list from that day feels so good. I love putting the line through it, through those words, and being able to clearly see my accomplishments. Sometimes the list is as simple as eat, put away one load of laundry, send X emails. That's it. It's okay if your list has one thing on it, or 15, or if Monday has 15 and Tuesday has one. Sit with yourself and be realistic every evening about what you can accomplish. There's no peace in chaos, and working on anything, personal or business, while overwhelmed, is going to keep you from being as productive as you could be. As a society, we're the busiest and most stressed we've ever been, and it's really taxing. Take time for yourself, breathe, write things down so that you can see it, focus on one thing at a time, and most importantly, give yourself grace as you would a close friend. You deserve that kindness.
Four out of five people are in a career that they're not passionate about. Oh my goodness. I used to be one of them, but I'm not anymore. I'm one of the one in five, and I'm here to help anybody who would like to shift over the one in five and be in a career that you absolutely, that you love, that you are so passionate about. I'm not offering a ticket to a worry-free life. I'm not offering a ticket to an easy life. I am offering a ticket to a passion-filled life. And when you have got passion, you can charge through any obstacle that comes in your way. So let's let some of that bottled up passion out. Let's use it for good, sell sustainable products, make people smile. Life is way too short to have a career that you're not passionate about. Enroll in How to Become a Florist Today. It's a digital course taught live, and it starts tomorrow, runs for 4 weeks. We do group coaching, and at the end, you get a professional development plan. It's everything you need to know. Cuts straight to the chase, helps you find where you fit in flower world. That's howtobecomeaflorist.com.
All right, everyone. Today on the podcast, we have Ingrid Carosi of Tin Can Studios in Brooklyn, New York. Tin Can Studios is a floral design studio that specializes in creating floral experiences for corporate events and weddings. And Ingrid and her team are most recognized for their lush, asymmetrical floral arrangements and large-scale installations. They use eye-catching color compositions and ingredients, but they are the most proud when clients reach out because they have seen and heard about their sustainable work from recent years and want that. And when we say sustainable here, we're talking about no foam, no bleached blooms, no painted. They avoid dyed. They compost, et cetera, et cetera. I'm sure we will talk more about that in a few minutes. And in addition, we're so excited. Ingrid has launched her second book called Flowers by Design, which, again, we'll chat more about that here in a few minutes. And we'll link it over in the show notes if you guys want to check it out. You can find her at www.tincanstudiosbk.com, or you can find them on Instagram at tincanstudiosbk. Thanks for being here, Ingrid. We're so excited to chat with you.
Well, thank you. I'm so excited to chat with you. I love your podcasts. I listen to them, and it's just like really exciting to be talking to you today.
Oh, that's really sweet. It's so fun to chat with someone who also listens to the podcast too. That's awesome. Well, let's start. Just tell us a little bit about your business, and you can even go into more about what makes your business unique and how you solve problems for those in your community.
Right. So I started Tin Can Studios about 8 years ago now. It was sort of by chance, to be honest. I was a graphic designer prior to that, and also had worked with it in events. And it just happened so that my old boss reached out and asked me to do flowers for an event with the King and Queen of Sweden. And I had no idea why she was asking me, but she, but she was like, well, you know, I think you're really good with concepts and you have a great eye. And so I actually agreed to do these flowers. And from there, my business exploded. I went from, you know, just a small, like it was going to just be a side gig to basically, you know, a full-fledged event design floral studio with, you know, a book that launched that for same year and, you know, featured as best florist in New York Magazine, and just a lot happening right from the get-go. So with that said, to answer your question in terms of what turn the business took was in the beginning, I sort of started out, like how I even got a lot of this business was that I gave out leftovers to like local businesses because I hated tossing the flowers because I just thought it was so wasteful, and would bike around and give out arrangements to, you know, local cafes, and event planners would see the flowers. And this is, like I said, 8 years ago. And back then, since then, the floral industry has exploded pretty much. At the time, there were a few floral designers, such as Sarah Rhiannon at Saipua, before her was Ariella Shazar, people in Brooklyn that were experimenting a lot with chicken wire, inspired by Constance Spride, you know, Amy Merrick. They were sort of, there were a few florists, you know, doing this more looser, wilder style in Brooklyn, which, you know, I also was doing. And that's sort of how we did gain attention, because at the time, not everyone, like very few florists in New York were doing this style. And it actually had to be sort of explained, to be honest, in a way, when I was always nervous, like bringing in these arrangements to more, you know, because I worked a lot with corporate clients, event planners that did things for like Moët Chandon or like more upscale type planners that I worked with, event planners, not necessarily weddings. And so I was always nervous because that wasn't a style that was common at the time. It was more tighter, ball-shaped arrangements. And I was always like a little nervous, like, are they going to think these are messy? You know, so it was sort of a very exciting time to be part of and to pioneer in. And also the no foam movement had not like reached its point it is at today, honestly, because I mean, and still to this day, people use a lot of foam, but back then it wasn't really like it was, people were starting to experiment with it again. And so it was a really exciting time to be part of. So I don't know if I answered your question, but
yes, no, that's great. I actually want to circle back to what you were saying about being nervous about how your designs were going to be received. And because I think as creators, we tend to put a lot of pressure on ourselves to meet some sort of unspoken expectation in a way. And so can you just maybe elaborate on that a little bit more and what that looked like as you started to realize that, hey, my clients are loving what I'm bringing them.
Yeah.
They're booking me because they want what I create, and right, kind of what that, you know, build of confidence looked like for you.
Well, I do think most of the time, sadly, you know, it comes from recognition and people, and that's oftentimes why we work with flowers. It's slightly narcissistic in a way, because it's like cooking. You know, I always compare the two. I'm sure you've heard that comparison sure. many times, but like, you know, we gather our ingredients. Like I call my flowers ingredients, you know, we create recipes, even we have recipes, you know, like, and then when you present the flowers, you're like, ta-da, you know, like you, it's just like when you present a meal, you want everyone to be like, oh, this is delicious. You know, it's the same with flowers. Sure. Uh-huh. So
yeah.
For me, like getting that recognition was very helpful, because we all struggle with these inner voices in our heads. Confidence is something you are constantly working on. And especially these days, back then, Instagram had just sort of become a thing. Like it wasn't even, you know, it was more experimental back then. You know, you could just post some like pictures of some street art and you'd be like, oh, this is exciting. You know, like it was, you know, that's what I'm saying. Like it's not that long ago, but like so much has happened over the years since, you know, since then, especially in the floral industry, a lot thanks to Instagram and Pinterest, because everyone can see what everyone's doing. And then the other thing, in all honesty, is I do get emails and DMs almost every day, like people saying like that they've learned everything they know, they've learned from me, like because of my books or classes they've taken. So that's scary too, because, you know, we were pioneering again in this like style. I'm not saying I'm the only one, but we were part of this movement basically of this like looser, more organic style. So again, did I go off on a tangent?
No, I think you answered the question for sure. So what is something new that you're testing in your business or your design or right
so
now?
Over the years, since I launched my first book, I was, you know, teaching like how to use chicken wire and all like easy, like not no foam methods. But since then, I mean, we have been teaching. Well, what happened with my business is we decided that we're not going to, in New York, we're not going to make money doing like little bouquets, selling bouquets from my bike flower rack, you know, my bike rack. Basically, sure. I realized like, you know, like I'm a single mother, I have to pay rent in Brooklyn. It's, you have to make money basically. And so to me, as much as I love flowers more than anything, it's also like, I have to pay my bills. There are a lot of people, all types of florists out there. Some are more hobby and some have other ways of funding their business. That wasn't the case for me. So to have this romantic vision of like selling little bouquets at a local cafe, I realized very quickly that you're going to have to sell a lot of bouquets in order to pay the bills. So I enjoyed doing large scale events, because that sort of was my background in a way, because I used to do events in New York, and I saw a need that came naturally to me being from, because I'm from Sweden, is that people weren't recycling vases. They were tossing entire vases in the garbage. They were tossing entire sets in dumpsters. And so I definitely, a big part of me working in floral design was to actually find ways to create more sustainable methods. So one of my things was like recycling pretty much everything that came back. Like we took everything back. We didn't leave things with clients because I was worried that things were going to go in the garbage. We recycled vases, and then the other thing was I started teaching, because I had my book, and I was invited to teach at flower school, because I took some a weekly intensive there, and they asked me to come teach. So I started teaching large scale installation with sustainable methods, which at the time people were still like I mentioned Ariella Shazar, because she. I learned from her to create structures with water sources, for instance. And that's what I started teaching, in addition to other methods that we experimented with. And like, I even tested like watermelon as a way to like hold your flowers in place, not necessarily hydrate, because you can't really keep flowers alive for a longer period of time in watermelon, but it can hold your flowers in place for an event, if it's just for a shorter event. So like these were things we were experimenting with in classes and stuff. And now over the last couple of years, agri-wool, actually, I don't know what they're calling the product right now, but it's that wool, those wool blocks that are 100% yes. natural.
Yes.
We started working with those because they sent me a box, and I actually featured that in my book because I was like, this is amazing. There's finally something that you can actually push your flowers in, and they will hold the flowers in place reasonably, you know, and that was just really amazing because it was a product we had been looking for forever and hoping someone wouldn't develop. And now there's the ocean pouch, which is even better, at least for, again, and I do want to be very careful here. And I always encourage other florists to always experiment, always test things. So I don't like saying that this is amazing for every application, but the ocean pouches, we've done entire ceiling installs with hanging floral above head, and they hold the flowers in place. And they're great for an event. And you can also use that stuff in your backyard, or we give our wool to like a local gardener that they use it in their flower beds. So it's like, it's a great new mechanic that has not been available before. But again, so over the years, the one of our main missions has been to like really honestly talk to clients about the complications of doing sustainable methods, but and not always like had people come to us and ask for that. But what was so honestly amazing, if it was about a year ago, when after the pandemic, when things started to get busy again, we actually started getting calls and people asking for sustainable methods. And we did a huge installation with four other florists, some really big names, amazing florists. And we did an install with like sustainable methods for Kate Spade, Saint Germain. They reached out and asked us to do another one. So we did a snippable bar, like basically it was a hanging install above head and then a bar, a huge bar behind the bartender where they could just snip everything for an event. So like we've had clients now actually have clients finally coming and asking for sustainable methods, and which is this is recent. So it feels like finally all the work we've been doing, like talking to clients and like saying no, honestly, sometimes to clients because it's not, we know that it's not a sustainable, there's no way to do it sustainably, or they just want all bleached flowers, which we don't use anymore. I have used them in entire installs, so not pointing fingers at all, because I didn't realize what it was until I looked it up, you know. So but that's still a big trend. But so we actually turn clients away now because we are staying committed to our, you know, that we are going to stay 100% sustainable now. So we actually turn clients away, but we are getting clients coming specifically asking for like, what can you do to make this a sustainable floral install? So to me, that I'm very proud of that, to be honest. So
it's something really encouraging and empowering when you've been working so hard to get across the message of your brand and you finally begin to see fruit from that.
Exactly.
So way to stick with it and be an example. I mean, for all of
we
us
continue. It's just continuous. But it's great. It's really great. And I've even like started we on our, all of our proposals, when we, you know, we charge our client, there's a composting fee, you know, like charge your client for that extra work a little bit. I mean, I'm not saying put in thousands of dollars, but whatever that extra effort is going to cost, like we charge our clients for that. So it's again, right at the moment, a slightly symbolic fee, but it's a way to put it out there that I don't like greenwashing. So like, we don't mention like, oh, that we're an eco-friendly florist on our website, but we do talk about sustainable methods a lot because we want to educate people. And since I have two books, I find that that is a way for me to get that out, because I have a 14-year-old daughter, and throughout these years, she's grown up in my studio, and I want her to be proud of me. And I want to feel like that I did what I felt what I could contribute with, and educating others in this, you know, field, and at least opening people's eyes and, you know, do you realize what this it does to the environment? That's has been very important to me, and to make her proud.
That's so special. I'm sure that she is proud of you and that she will grow to be even more proud of you as she gains maturity and age. I think that's really beautiful, Ingrid.
Thank you.
I do want to talk more about your latest book, Flowers by Design. Tell us, like, what is it about? And you've talked a little bit about what inspired you to write it, but as readers are, you know, going to read it, what can they expect to find?
It's just funny because the first book, I had only been working with flowers for 7 months or something. And it was like on a shoestring budget, but that book was like a bestseller. But it was so much easier because there weren't that many flower books out, like recent books out at the time. There were a few really great ones, but not that many. And again, like I compare to cooking, like there's, I don't know how many thousands of cookbooks. So I always say there can't be too many flower books either. But at the same time, it's like, it was kind of scary. So Abrams contacted me and like, do you want to do another? We would like you to do another book. And they're like, you can do pretty much, they let me decide the concept and do whatever I wanted. And then it was like, shoot, what do I do? But for me, like there were now a bunch of flower books out there with recipes. And to me, like working with flowers, what's so special about working with flowers are all these like really personal stories people have and the connection to flowers that people have to them. You know, everyone has in their memory bank, like something that is connected to some kind of like, you know, if it's their grandmother, their mother, or a teacher, or something. And it's a usually very strong memory. I'm sure you've experienced this in your interviews with people, like everyone has some kind of story from their childhood that to tell you about flowers. So, and like what I've experienced when people walk into a room and like start crying when they see flowers, like there's a really something really strong. And that human, you know, to me, like flowers, I believe they're a reminder to us to like just live in the moment, you know, because flowers are just here for like a short time and we are just here for a short time. So like there's all these so many strong connections between flowers and humans. And when I work with clients, they have inspired me so much with their stories over the years, and I wanted to find a way to weave in people into the book, because without people, flowers are just, you know, like, so for me that was like really important. And so I decided to invite clients that I've worked with over the years, that I still work with to this day, and have them be the inspiration to some arrangements and then tell little stories around those arrangements. So there's a quite wide range of arrangement styles, I would say. Also, like I said, like over these years, I've seen so much happen, and there's like, you know, now Ikebana is a huge trend, has been for the past few years. And there's all these, you know, emerging types of color palettes. There's dried, there's, you know, so it was really hard to narrow things down. But this way, like the people automatically did that for me. And that's how I work with my clients, and using their inspiration as my inspiration. And we created arrangements around these tastemakers. And then in the, and then there's another section in the book where we show all sustainable methods. So like one of my favorites is like a twig arrangement using twigs, because it's like very organic and natural. Like I really love that one. But then it's just like regular, like chicken wire, using a flower frog, using a combination of those two. Or, I mean, I show the watermelon method, even though, you know, like I said previously, like you need to be careful with that, cause that's mainly for events. But, and then, just like talking about bud vases, because I love bud vases. So there's all these different recipes and little stories. And so it's more like a journey through different like flower experiences, if you may, with a section on, you know, how I pick flowers, my thoughts on, you know, color, all kinds of things. But it's really kind of like a bunch of little journeys in a way, just like with flowers, our flower arrangements. So
it sounds lovely. It sounds so lovely. I can't wait to get my hands on a copy.
No, yeah, I've had some really amazing support from like people like Paulina Blue Jasmine, like Kiana Tulipina, like lots of people have just been like giving praise. Francis Palmer. So it's been amazing because of all the people involved. Also, it's just been like quite the experience. It took much longer than I had wanted for obvious reasons, but you know, it was pretty hard to shoot during lockdown and stuff like that. And things had to be put on hold, so the process was quite longer than I had wanted, but other than that, it was really fun.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. I can't wait to read it and take a flip through. And I'm a personal fan of all of those stories, you know, that people have, because you're right. The flowers are beautiful in and of themselves, but what really makes them magical is that connection that people have with them.
When you give flowers, there's a chemical reaction of oxytocin in your body. And then when you receive, it's dopamine, and then connect that to like a maternal kind of, or some kind of memory from your childhood. Like that's just that's why they're so powerful, you know? So it's really cool.
Yeah.
Flowers are
cool. Okay. So flowers are cool. Yes. In a nutshell. I love it.
That's all I have to say.
The end. See you later.
Right.
Oh, that's awesome. Flowers are cool. All right. So on that note, tell us about a story of your own. How have you seen a life touched by flowers in a special way?
Oh gosh, so many stories.
Can you narrow it down?
It's hard, but I will say, like, because of, and we were talking about this off before we started the interview, but like the pandemic and how I don't really want to talk about it too much, because I feel like flowers are here to bring joy, and which they did so much, because, you know, with the pandemic, right after we started like opening up a little bit again after the first wave, when we did that Kate Spade install and we gave out 5,000 bouquets, 5,000 bouquets for free on Broadway. That was really amazing, to be honest. We did really strong color palettes. Like it was like an explosion of color. And then there were like people in white jumpsuits, like on bikes, just handing out bouquets. But we also had this little coffee cart handing out bouquets, and we did an install on a bike, and people were crying and just like, this is the best day we've had in like a year, you know, like truly, like there was a line like two blocks to like get bouquets. That was really like, I get goosebumps talking about it, because that day was just like goosebumps all day kind of thing, where people were just so appreciative, like beyond. And usually I charge a lot of money for my flowers, so it was just nice to like actually just like get to give flowers away for free, courtesy of Kate Spade.
This was like an event planned by Spade to like bestow
it was called a love letter to New York. Yeah, because I mean this city was hit pretty hard, you know, so that was special. Was very special.
I don't, it's gonna be hard to top that one, Ingrid, in your life.
Maybe, but no, I mean, in a way, but you know, weddings are a very special day for people. So like, you know, like we're so blessed, honestly, to be part of these moments, to be honest. So, and we forget, because sometimes we're just like banging stuff out. But like, I sometimes have to remind myself, like, this is like one of the most important, you know, like, again, you must have heard this so many times, but like, that's why we try to be selective with our clients, and we don't take on everything that comes our way. I mean, luckily we're at a point where we can do that, but you know, for me, like we work with like really down to earth people who really appreciate flowers, because that's how I want people to just like step in that room and just be blown away. And that's what we get to do. So we're very, very lucky that way.
I love that. So when you arrive at an event and you're delivering the flowers, what is the first thing that you do?
Well, basically, you know, oftentimes the venue is really quite large and we have a lot of things coming in, especially we do a lot of hanging installs, large scale installations, and we might have a team of, you know, 10, 12, 14 people, and the truck comes in and they just start loading out stuff and just put it there, and then they're gone, and you're like, hey, where did? And so basically I go out and show everyone where things are going, and then we start loading out, and everything's extremely well labeled, and there's a very tight system. And basically, because I like to keep a tight footprint, because florists are known for being very sloppy and messy, and so like I like to show the opposite. So I am very proud of the being like the florist known for like being super tidy, and I'm very adamant about that. So we pop up our own little trash bins, and then there's dedicated areas for everything, but we like basically map things out because that's often needed. And because if we load out, typically we make a lot of our arrangements, like larger ones, in the studio. If they just drop them, now my team has to start lifting and moving things, and I want to spare everyone's backs. And I'm very much for like working ergonomically to save my team. I love my freelancers more than anything. Like I would be nowhere without them. So I want to take care of them and make sure that we actually have fun at work and we're not just schlepping stuff all over. So things like that, just sit like being very organized, getting when we get on site, that's very important for me and my team.
Yeah, no, that sounds awesome. So what does that process look like for you the day before,
right,
or, you know, the Weeks week before?
as you're
planning through all of that, what do you use to label things, and what does that process look like for you?
So basically, like, I mean, I don't do everything myself. I have a studio manager, event directors, lead designers, and we go over like everything that's leaving the studio basically and label it out, you know, on paper. We try to create a system where it says, you know, where this is going. Usually we have a presentation that we've worked off of as a team. So we use those, however we've named things in that presentation, and apply that to our labels. And then, so it might say ceremony on the hilltop, on all of the boxes going to the ceremony on the hilltop. I mean, this isn't like rock, it's not that complicated per se, but still like, and I don't like hand labels, like everything comes printed out. So it's very cohesive and clean. I just don't like when things are written out by hand. So I might be a little, I don't know if that's ADHD or something, but yeah, I really prefer like when things are very organized, because I want us to focus on the flowers and making sure that everything looks amazing and beautiful, and that we can actually enjoy on-site work rather than it being super stressful. Because that's another thing, like I said, I might have mentioned this, but it's very important to me that my team is happy and has and enjoys what they're doing, even on site. Because over the years, you know, I've heard a lot of stories from freelancers and how it's so stressful, and there's always going to be crunch time as an event florist. So to avoid crunch time as much as possible is what I'm always trying to do. So And it's not always easy. I can't say, I'm not saying that we're in any way perfect, but it's something we work on a lot. And we have a lot of conversations and planning meetings and discussions before pretty much every event. And then we do debriefings. So we talk about them after, and like what worked, what didn't work, what can we make better? Constantly. Yeah.
I really appreciate the level of excellence that you're working to bring, not just to your clients and to your freelancing team, but also to the industry as well. I appreciate that. And I think that we could all learn some things from you, Ingrid, as you know, I'm sure you would agree. Like we learn from one another.
Right.
But yeah, thank you for sharing all of that. And we're unfortunately going to have to wrap up now, but I wanted to ask you one more question.
Yeah.
In closing, I'm going to just hand the microphone over to you. If there is one thing on your heart for the floral industry that you could share, what would that be?
Oh God.
It's a big question. I know.
Well, the thing is, it's sort of, I kind of mentioned it before, but because I do see these trends that I don't necessarily I'm not crazy about the bleached, for instance. And then I do encourage everyone to try really, like, because there's still lots of florists using foam. So really, like, try these other methods, experiment, and then take care of your teams, you know, like, really, like, treat your freelancers with respect. And what, you know, because finally, like, floral design is becoming accepted more as a design form, and so, in some cases an art form, and we should take a lot of pride in what we do. So yeah, those were a lot of tips, sorry.
Well, you
I'm
know
not
what they
good
say.
At editing.
The more the merrier.
I'm the worst at condensing. I should be better at that.
Yeah. Oh no, that's great. I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with us today, Ingrid, and yeah, we just appreciate all that you're doing for the floral industry, and you're a pioneer in ways, and we appreciate that, and are cheering you on. So thank you for doing that. Thank you for being here. And again, listeners, if you want to check out Ingrid's new book, we are going to link it over in the show notes. So make sure you pop over and click on that so that you can be inspired by her even more. Thanks so much, Ingrid.
Oh my God, thank you so much. It was so much fun to talk to you, and I really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. You can find us over at teamflower.org for more resources like this one. And while you're there, check out the Team Flower Conference. That's where we all gather to learn and grow together. It is magic. You are magic. The work that you do with flowers matters. And we are so grateful for you. Keep going. You're doing a good job.